Here's the Bills' latest pick.
With the ninth pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Ed Oliver, defensive tackle, Houston.
Josh Allen, quarterback, Wyoming.
Tre'Davious White, defensive back, LSU.
Jermaine Edmonds, linebacker, Virginia Tech.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Tuesday to you, and as you know, Tuesdays here on this podcast are Twitter Tuesdays, where you take control of the show, you pick what I talk about, and we're going to get to the outstanding takes, questions, comments that have been sent in by the listeners here. And the reminder, the way that you can do that is by hitting me up on Twitter at TheJoeMarino with the hashtag Twitter Tuesday. Also, you can send me an email, joe@thedraftnetwork.com. If you're enjoying the Locked On Bills podcast, a reminder that you can subscribe to it on the new podcasting app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify. And when you get into your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Bills. Let's dig right into this. Brandon Brasino has a couple of items for me. Number one, thoughts on the release of Gerald McCoy. And that is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive tackle who enjoyed a great career for them after being a high selection in the draft. He's in his ninth season. I think he has six Pro Bowls. Really good football player. And a player that, before the Ed Oliver pick, I was very much in favor of the Bills going after and potentially making a move to go get him, especially considering that I didn't think the cost in terms of what you would have to give up to trade for him would be very much, especially considering his deal. He's basically owed $13 million a season each year for, starting this year for the next three seasons. And the good news about that contract is that at any point you can move on from it and you wouldn't carry any dead cap. So I thought it was a good deal to move into, especially considering the Bills' favorable cap position. The Ed Oliver trade does somewhat change my opinion on that being a pressing need. However, Gerald McCoy is a good football player, and I don't think the Bills shouldn't consider him, even though there is Ed Oliver in the fray. Imagine interior pass rushing downs with Ed Oliver and Gerald McCoy as your two defensive tackles. That is really, really exciting. Star Lotulelei is going to play 45% of the snaps. Yeah, do you think I wouldn't mind giving another 40% of those snaps at that one tech spot to Gerald McCoy? And then you sprinkle in Harrison Phillips and Jordan Phillips. I mean, I'm not going to let Jordan Phillips or Harrison Phillips get in the way of going after Gerald McCoy. Now, do I think the Gerald McCoy is going to come to Buffalo? I have my questions about that. You know, Adam Schefter had kind of put it out there that he wants to get paid, but he wants to go to a team that's a playoff contender. And I don't know what Gerald McCoy thinks about the Bills and where they're at and if he would consider them. So I'm not getting my hopes up that the Bills make a move and get Gerald McCoy. Brandon had a second point on his Twitter Tuesday send-in. He said, if you were the Bills GM, how would you add to the Bills pass rush short and long term? You guys know my concerns about the Bills pass rush. I don't think it's good enough. I don't think that there's enough, even with the Ed Oliver move, that makes me think of the Bills as a feared team that can get after quarterbacks. I like Jerry Hughes. I like Ed Oliver. I don't like much else. Shaq Lawson has proven to be a good run defender, not a great pass rusher. Trent Murphy, can he refine his form from, you know, the 2017? Or is it 2016? He missed all of 2017. And he wasn't that impactful as a pass rusher in 2018. So I have my concerns there. The rest of the group, I mean, Eli Harold's kind of been a journeyman to this point in his career. Mike Love is a bottom-of-the-roster type guy. Eddie Yarborough hasn't made a play in 2 years. Daryl Johnson's a seventh-round pick. Yeah, I'm concerned about it. How do I fix it? I don't know what you do in late May to fix your pass rush for the coming season. Could you make a trade? You know, Jadeveon Clowney is a popular name out there, and there's a good question about him coming up, so we'll dig into that here in a moment. But am I going to give up a first-round pick for Jadeveon Clowney? I don't know if I would. I don't know if I would when I could just sign him and keep my first round pick. So I'm not sure there's any quick, fast answers to fixing things short term, other than hoping Shaq Lawson takes a step forward in the contract year. Trent Murphy refines himself. And, you know, Lorenzo Alexander continues to give you something in that capacity. So, you know, I'm looking at the offseason. I'm looking at the 2020 NFL draft. I'm looking at the potential free agents for next year and figuring out how to add to the pass rushing arsenal. But I am very much concerned with it. Jeffords III says, with Tyree Jackson now seemingly on the roster, is there a chance he learns an additional position? Tight end, wide receiver, special teams, or even defensive end? That's interesting. That is what someone would play with his body type and athletic traits. And then a good advice here from Jefford says, Joe, remember, happy wife, happy life. Working on that, my man. You know, I think this is interesting. I dug into this a little bit in yesterday's show when I was talking about the positional battles to monitor over the offseason. And I dug into Tyree Jackson and him being QB3 and his path to the roster is proving that he can either one, be an NFL quarterback and really not look silly if he has to play, or adding some type of additional value, like playing another position, in addition to being able to take snaps at quarterback and get you through a game. So that's going to be something we need to monitor, because if he can play quarterback, then there's no questions here. We don't have to deal with that. But I have my reservations about where Tyree Jackson is as a quarterback and if he's going to be a viable option on a Sunday, even in a QB3 capacity. You saw the Bills and other teams, you know, look at a guy like Joe Webb, right? Joe Webb's a player that's made a long career for himself by being able to play quarterback, but also wide receiver and giving you that special teams value. If Tyree Jackson is going to make this team and he's questionable at quarterback, then he needs to be able to do something else, including special teams. Never thought about defensive end, but I mean, he does. He has the build and the athletic profile of a defensive end. I'm not advocating for that because I've never seen a quarterback in college turn into a defensive end in the NFL. I'm not sure there's any examples of that, but I think that the spirit of what you're getting at here is that, you know, we have a lot to learn about Tyree Jackson, and if he's not a viable quarterback, there's going to have to be something else to his game that keeps him on an NFL roster. Next one here comes from Tony Barton, who says, do you think the asking price for Clowney is really a first rounder? His contract extension is going to be massive, which diminishes his value a bit. Seems Bain would consider for a Lawson, for a second slash Lawson. Thoughts? Second round pick in Shaq Lawson, Brandon Bean should consider that. I do think that the asking price for Jadeveon Clowney, if I'm the Houston Texans, or in reality the Houston Texans, is a first-round pick. This is a player that they took number one overall in 2014 and has amassed 18.5 sacks over the last two seasons. And he's a really good run defender as well. And I don't think Houston's going to be interested in moving away from him for anything less than a first-round pick and probably more, to be honest with you. You think about the other deals for pass rushers here lately. You know, Frank Clark went for a first and more, and he was in a contract year, and Kansas City had to pay him. So I don't think the contract thing really gets in the way. Khalil Mack, you know, he was in a contract situation as well. And so those contracts didn't preclude big deals and a first-round pick. Dee Ford went for a 2020 second-round pick, but I don't think Dee Ford's at the level of Jadeveon Clowney, or certainly not Khalil Mack. And so, yeah, I think if you want Clowney, you're going to have to give up a one and a lot more than that as well. The contract, I don't think, gets in the way of in terms of Houston's demands being a first-round pick. And I don't think the Bills should do it. I don't think they should do it. I think I'll take my chances on having both Jadeveon Clowney and a first-round pick next offseason than just to make sure I get them. I think that's a lot to give up. You're giving up an entire, you know, potentially a five-year stretch with a rookie, a first-round rookie. That's a lot to give up. I don't think I'd do that. I just don't. Want to shout out our sponsor for today's podcast, Cover One. I know that this is something that you should be familiar with if you're a Buffalo Bills fan. I certainly am. I really enjoyed the detailed analysis that you get with the Cover One Buffalo podcast. If you're looking for another podcast to listen to in addition to Locked On Bills, do not miss the Cover One Buffalo podcast. Some great talent over there producing content at Cover One. Some guys that I know personally and really enjoy keeping up with their work. Eric Turner, Rob Quinn, Greg Thompsett, who's been on this podcast before on a Water Cooler Wednesday. Russell Brown, love his draft stuff. Christian Page is another really good draft guy. And, of course, Aaron Quinn is some of my favorite guys that they have over there. You can get a lot more than just the Buffalo podcast at Cover One. Their written analysis is really outstanding. They give you a really cool video breakdown series that's always fun to watch. I've learned so much checking out especially Eric's video breakdowns. He has a really good ability to break football down, make it simple, and show you why stuff matters. Their Bills coverage across the board is just super in-depth. Speaking of that Buffalo podcast, you can check that out on all podcast platforms, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, all of the above. You can subscribe to it. You can visit them online, coverone.net, and they also have an app. The Cover One app is available on Android and iOS devices. You can also find Cover One on all social media platforms. The handle is @cover_1_. Make sure you're checking out all the fantastic content at Cover One. Be right back after this to dig into more of your Twitter Tuesday items. All right, Andrew Kennedy, this is a really good question that is super relevant for the Bills and a situation where you feel like there's a lot of good players on this roster and not enough roster spots to keep them all. So let's talk about the practice squad. Andrew says, in a season in which there's so much talent and competition, it's possible that there's going to be some talented players and fan favorites cut and put on the practice squad. Could you explain to us the ins and outs of the practice squad rules? Who's eligible for it? Can other teams sign them whenever they want or just throw waivers, etc.? Also, your early predictions on who might be on this year's practice squad. So I found some very good information on the internet that really breaks this down. And so I'm going to kind of work through this for you and explain it. And as far as eligibility goes for the practice squad, first of all, it's a 10-man practice squad. That's how many practice squad spots you can have. Eligibility, not every player is eligible for the practice squad, especially if they've been in the NFL for several years. In 2016, the NFL adopted a modification of the practice squad rules that allows up to four players per practice squad to have two accrued seasons, making it easier for teams to have experienced players on their practice squad. In the previous agreement, only two players with two accrued seasons were allowed to be on the practice squad. Other than those four players, eligibility is limited to players who have been on an active roster for fewer than six games or were on a 46-man active roster for fewer than nine games. A player is allowed on the practice squad for up to 2 years, with 1 year counting as six weeks in a season. A third year on the practice squad is allowed if a team keeps 53 players on their active roster at all times, which, of course, every team does. Practice squad salaries. Practice squad players earn paychecks on a weekly basis. They're not getting the bigger paychecks that a 53-man player would receive. For the 2018 season, practice squad players can make no less than $7,600 per week, which equals $129,200 for the season. To protect players from leaving for other teams or because they really like the potential of a given player, some teams can pay their practice squad players more than the minimum. There is no limit to how much a team can pay a player on the practice squad, and practice squad does not count against the salary cap. Changing teams, a practice squad player can sign to another team's active roster at any point but can't leave for another practice squad unless released from his current team. The only time practice squad players can't be signed to an active roster is when a team's next opponent is simply trying to get information from them by signing them prior to a matchup. Practice squad players are prohibited from signing with the next opponent of their current team any less than 5 days before the game or nine days during a bye week. If a practice squad player is signed to an active roster, they will receive a minimum of 3 weeks of paychecks, even if they're released less than 3 weeks into their stay with the team. For my predictions on potential practice squad players for the Bills in 2019, these are the names that came to mind. Ray McCloud, David Sills, Ike Botker, Tyree Jackson, Mike Love, Daryl Johnson, Juwan Foggy, Tyrell Dotson, Cameron Lewis, and Morrall Stevens. Just my best guess on players that I don't think will make the team, but there could be some appeal there with practice squad. I'm guessing that a decent amount of the 10-man practice squad that's initially announced will be players that the Bills didn't have in training camp or preseason. Bryce Clark has this one. He says, after listening to the podcast on Tremaine Edmonds, I got to thinking of Robert Foster. He had such a prolific end of the season, yet once John Brown and Cole Beasley were added, talks about him went silent. What are your expectations for him coming into the season? Do you think he could push for the starting job? Do you think having John Brown might add to his development as a deep threat at receiver? Could he develop a possession-type receiver with his elite athleticism and flashes of skill? Could he potentially be a threat to Zay Jones, or would he make one of the free agents we signed more expendable? Just thought that these were the questions that would be good for conversation for some point in the following week's podcast. I'm a true fan of his and hope he succeeds this season. Really good question and talking points there, Bryce. And I guess my immediate reaction to this is, you know, the Bills just saw Josh Allen and Robert Foster develop a pretty nice connection there down the stretch, including basically three 100-yard games and really thriving together, hooking up down the field. I don't think that the Bills are going to be quick to take away from his opportunities to make plays next season. And I understand that the addition of John Brown and of course, Cole Beasley brings into question just how much Robert Foster will be featured in the offense. But I think the Bills are going to have, you know, three, four wide receivers on the field quite a bit. And, you know, we've even kind of talked a little bit about how there's multiple players that kind of project best to the slot. When you think about Zay Jones and Cole Beasley, both are slot receivers. But when you have four receivers on the field, you're going to have two slots. And I think you're going to see the Bills, just like last year, a ton of different personnel groupings. And you're going to see these guys all play a good bit. Now, you know, the Bills are going to spread the ball around. I mean, they've got all four of those guys at receiver plus tight ends and running backs that deserve touches with the football. And I think that that's kind of the theme here. And I mentioned a few times just that the spacing is going to be different this year, where, you know, that vertical element's always going to be there. And certainly John Brown and Robert Foster are going to be a big reason why the Bills are able to stretch the field offensively, and then really opening the window for Cole Beasley and Zay Jones and Tyler Kroft or whoever, you know, whatever tight ends in the lineup to make things happen underneath. And so I don't think that it necessarily takes away from Robert Foster. I think that it makes him better because there's more speed, more vertical receiving ability in the wide receiver room for the Bills. And Josh Allen should be more comfortable attacking all levels of the field. So I don't think the Bills are going to be quick to take away from his opportunities. I think Robert Foster down the stretch, starting with that Jets game before the bye week and then throughout the rest of the season, proved himself as a worthy target in this offense. And I think that they're going to like the idea of continuing that idea, especially for a low-cost player who's 25 years old and has a lot of potential. So, yeah, I think he'll have a more expansive role. I think you'll see him used not only as a deep threat, but kind of breaking off some of those routes and catching some stuff underneath and continuing to nurture that relationship that we saw formed with Josh Allen down the stretch. Remember, guys, to get this show every day, subscribe to Locked On Bills on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Bills. All right, Bryce Clark has a second one for me. He says, barring no trades this season, what will be our biggest need during the year? Need might not be the best word. Let's say position that we can push to the next level. So I think two things come to mind with this. First of all, edge rusher, right? Right now it's Trent Murphy and Daryl Johnson and Mike Love as your edge rushers under contract beyond this season. So that's my primary concern with the team. Does this receiver philosophy work? You know, the Bills have a lot of interesting receivers, but no true bona fide number one guy. Does the course of this season reveal the need for a true X number one wide receiver? And what does the running back situation look like? Does Devin Singletary give you enough to believe that him and TJ Yeldon can be the duo in 2020 and beyond? And is cornerback two opposite of Trey White solidified? Can Levi Wallace be that guy long term? You know, I think that's the big question. Kevin Johnson has been injured, and he'll have a chance to prove himself, but can he be a long-term fixture? So I think it's kind of sorting that out. So those are kind of the three things that preliminarily off the top of my head, edge rusher, wide receiver, running back, and cornerback, that there could potentially be questions about heading into 2020, and then, of course, are manifested throughout the 2019 season. Daniel Michalak says, love the Edmonds show. Can you discuss what Hyde and Poyer do so well that makes them so important to the Bills defense? Oh, man. Whew. Love those players. I think the Bills just have two guys that are interchangeable, that can fill any role that you're looking for on the defense. If you're looking for a high safety, a single high guy that can play sideline to sideline and give you that deep range and deep zones, either one of them can do that. They're both a former cornerback. So if you want a guy that can play in man coverage from the slot, they can give you that. Super smart players. So when you're talking about short zones, processing route combinations, squeezing throwing lanes, working into throwing lanes, both guys can do that. Ball skills are there. They both tackle really well. There's just no limitations. So when you have two safeties like that, that can fill so many different roles and be so secure in their assignments, it allows you to be more aggressive with your pressure packages. It allows you to be more aggressive with potentially press coverage, the line of scrimmage, and being disruptive there, knowing that you have viable dudes behind them that are lurking. But also, one of the most, I think probably the most important things about both of those players is they do such a great, great, great job of disguising coverage. They don't give quarterbacks pre-snap tips on what coverage the Bills are playing, because they can get to spots so quickly and they know when to drop, and they just have such a great feel. They tackle. They're just complete safeties. They're both complete safeties. They're both criminally underpaid, and they are a big reason of why this Buffalo defense works. Stanley Carter says, if Josh Allen has back-to-back poor seasons this year and next, is that enough time to give up on him and draft Trevor Lawrence or whoever the top quarterback is? It would give another draft to build around the quarterback in 2020 and then add a quarterback on a rookie salary. Yeah, if Josh Allen's bad this year and he's bad the following year, yeah, 100%. That's it. It's over with. He had, you know, that's almost 10, 20, 32. That's 40 games. After 40 games, if he's bad, he's not getting better, yeah, you move on. I'm not like married to anybody like that, you know, where you give me 40 games of bad quarterbacking and just because I use a top 10 pick on you, then I'm going to stick with you. Like, no, I think that's terrible. I'll tell you this. When the Bills had drafted EJ Manuel, the very next year, he didn't look promising to me. I was very much in favor of the Bills drafting either Teddy Bridgewater or Derek Carr. So I'm not about, you know, especially Trevor Lawrence, who looks like he's just going to be a sensational prospect. if the Bills are in position to draft him and Josh Allen's not the answer, you move on. Good question, though. I appreciate that question, Stanley. Matt says, a roster building question. With the current NFL, would you rather have an average defensive line, an elite secondary, or elite defensive line, an average secondary? Whew, that's a good one. You're seeing some teams value, you're seeing teams with the way they're building their rosters answer that question very differently. Look at the Giants. The Giants have pretty much depleted its pass rushing skill set, and they drafted basically four cornerbacks this year. You know, they're looking for that secondary option and having pass rushers that can really push the pocket and condense things around the quarterback and then, you know, being secure on the back end. I probably side with the defensive line. You know, I think pressure on the quarterback is king, and if you have an elite defensive line, you'll be able to stop the run as well. And I think a good pass rush can, in a lot of ways, hide and mask some issues in the secondary. So for me personally, I'm still defensive line, pass rush as the most important, but I think you can kind of have both too. I don't think it's an either or thing. James DeSantis says, Joe, I'm an avid listener. Thank you, James. I love the podcast. Thank you, James. What is your expectations for the offense this year as a whole? I can't help but expect a Mahomes-like leap for Josh Allen. As a Bills fan, I always try to temper, but I can't help it this year. Brother, Patrick Mahomes was the NFL MVP. I think he threw for 50 touchdown passes. I am going to beg you to pump the brakes on that type of a leap for Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen has a lot of potential to have a very good season, and I'm obviously very encouraged about the way that he performed in week 12 through 17 last year, and obviously the Minnesota game. He's given us plenty of reasons to be hopeful. And you love the way that the Bills attacked free agency, getting the offensive line right, adding an experience back like Frank Gore, upgrading the tight end situation, bringing in wide receivers that help with the spacing. All of those are reasons to be excited about Josh Allen, the Bills offense this year. Also, it can't be overlooked that Josh Allen is the guy from day one this year. He doesn't enter a three-way race with Nathan Peterman and AJ McCarron splitting reps up until the start of the season. The offense can be built from day one with Josh Allen taking the starters reps. And there are so many reasons to be hopeful and expect a big jump from Josh Allen to the Bills offense this year. But brother, Patrick Mahomes, that's super, super, super rich. So I'll beg you to temper that a bit, but I don't think that you're out of line in terms of being hopeful and expecting some big growth. A couple more here. Derek Babcock says, first, love the pod. Thank you, Derek. Which camp battle are you most interested in keeping an eye on? And Derek, thank you for sending this in. Literally yesterday's entire podcast was generated from your question. So I dug into that very deeply in yesterday's podcast. So if you want to hear the long answer to the question, make sure you listen to Monday's podcast if you haven't already. But to summarize that very quickly, I wrote down nine things. Number one, that sixth wide receiver spot. I think Cole Beasley, Zay Jones, Robert Foster, John Brown, Andre Roberts are five receivers that I expect to make the football team. Who's that sixth guy? Is it Duke Williams? Is it David Sills? Is it Jason Kroom in a tight end wide receiver hybrid role? I'm anxious to see what happens there. Maybe should I be overlooking guys like Ray McLeod and Isaiah McKenzie? I think I should be, but they were part of the mix last year. The entire offensive line is fascinating to me this year. Literally, outside of Mitch Morse, we have no idea. Mitch Morse at center. Outside of that, we have no idea about any other spot. Tyree Jackson, is he a rosterable QB3? I mentioned that a little bit earlier here in this podcast and talked about that a ton yesterday. Sorting out the backfield. How do the Bills, you know, do they keep Gore, McCoy, Singletary, Yeldon, and Perry? How does Patrick DeMarco fit in? Interesting situation there. The bottom of the edge rusher group. You know, I think we're comfortable with Hughes and Murphy and Lawson as kind of the top three guys. But out of Mike Love and Eddie Yarborough and Darryl Johnson and Eli Harrell, does more than one of them make the team? Depth at linebacker. Behind the starting trio of Tremaine Edmonds, Matt Milano, and Lorenzo Alexander, who proves to be the guys that can help on special teams, but you're comfortable also playing on defense? Corey Thompson, Julian Stanford, Deion Lacey, Vashawn Joseph, Mo Alexander, you know, all those guys. I think of those guys that I just mentioned outside of the starting three, I gave you five names. I don't know that more than two, maybe three, make the team. So how do those decisions get made? Cornerback opposite of Trey White, who gets that job? Is it Levi Wallace? Kevin Johnson, a player that the Bills' secondary coach is familiar with. E.J. Gaines is the most proven player. He was a really good piece for this team 2 years ago. He's had injury issues. Safety, in terms of the depth behind Poyer and Hyde, there's a lot of names. Raphael Bush, Saran Neal, Jaquan Johnson, Dean Marlowe. You know, which of those, outside of Poyer and Hyde, probably only two more get to make the team. How do they sort through that? Is Saran Neal on the bubble? You know, Jaquan Johnson, does he have enough physical ability to play in the league? There's a lot of questions there. And, I mean, don't sleep on Dean Marlowe, who's been with Sean McDermott for like 4 years now. And then, of course, punter. Which one of these Coreys, Corey Baroquez or Corey Carter, which one's going to be the Bills punter in 2019? Thank you for listening to this podcast. Tomorrow is Water Cooler Wednesday. Have a great guest. It's Travis Wingfield from the Locked On Dolphins podcast. We talk AFC East. We talk about the Dolphins rebuilding. We talk Bills through the eyes of a division rival. A lot of good discussion there. It's already been recorded, so I can tell you that it's really good from having already had that discussion. So definitely don't miss that. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. And remember, you can subscribe to this show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Bills. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow.